We now proceed in our study of Mishnayos Meseches Kelim with lesson number 3, as we study together the 4th and 5th Mishnayos of the first Perek. Perek Aleph, Mishneh Dalid, and Mishneh He. We're still going through the long list of Avos Hatumos, going up the list toward more and more strict examples of Avos Hatuma. We began with the lowest, the least strict, Sheretz, Shechva Zera, etc. And yesterday we began to learn about the Zov, and the Mishkav HaZov, and the Merkav HaZov. Today we will begin to see in Mishneh Dalid something even stricter than the Zov. Now a Zov is, by definition, a male who sees a certain type of fluid emanating from his body either twice on 2 successive days or 3 times on 3 successive days. But of course, this is biologically only a condition which applies to males. However, there is a condition called Zova. A Zova is a person, a woman, who menstruates in a certain pattern which renders her different from a Nida. In the Torah, there's a distinction between a Nida and a Zova. We will not get into the details of that here, because here we're concerned only with once a woman is considered in the status of a Zova. And this applies also to a woman who is in the status of a Nida, which for our purposes means any woman who is menstruating and has not finished her menstrual period and had the proper immersion in the mikveh to make herself tahora. And it also applies, by the way, to a Yoledes, to a woman who has recently given birth. They all have the same status as far as this particular halacha is concerned. The Milam and Hazov Zova, Shehi Mitama'o es Boalo, that if a man has relations, he is Boel, a Zova / Nida / Yoledes, so then he takes upon himself her, doesn't take it away from her, she remains Tomei as she was before, but he also becomes Tomei in the same sense that she was. Zova Shehi Mitama'o es Boalo. Again, this is the posuk in Parshas Mitzora in Chumash VaYikra Perek Tesvov posuk Chof Dalid, which reads Im Shochov Yishkav Yishoso Usehini Dosa Olov. He takes upon himself the same level of tuma as she did. V'tomei Shivas Yomim. He's tomei for 7 days, etc. Lamailo min hazova. Now, by the way, it doesn't work the opposite. If a person is a man, is a zov, and he has relations with a woman, that woman does not take upon herself the status of a zov. It only works from the woman to the man, from the zova to the boel nido, the boel zova, but not from the zov to the niveles, to the woman who was the partner in the intercourse with the Zov. Lamailo min hazova, still stricter even than the Zova / Nida / Yoledes, is the Mitzora. The person who is a Mitzora has the symptoms of Tzoras that we study in Parshas Tazria and Parshas Mitzora, is stricter in a certain way than the Zova. Shehu mitame bevia. Bia here means entering a house. If he enters a house while he is a Mitzora, everything in the house becomes Tomei, even if he didn't touch it, as the Mishnah explains in Maseches Negoim. Lamailo min ha-Mitzora, more strict even than the Mitzora, who is Metame Bia, by simply entering in a house, he's Metame all the contents of the house. Stricter than that is a bone of a human being, a bone of a Jewish person, which is the size of a barley bean, a small bean. Shehu mitame tumas shiva. The person who comes into contact with an etzem kisora, or who carries an etzem kisora, is tome for 7 days, as opposed to the mitzora. If I am in the same room under the same roof as a mitzora, and certainly if I'm in the same roof as a zava or a navela, etc., I only become tome at most until the evening. Even if I touch a nida or touch a nevela, I only am tome for until nightfall. However, if I touch etzem kesora or carry etzem kesora, then mitame tumas shiva for 7 days. Chomo mikulom, the strictest of them all is hames, the dead body, the corpse itself. Shehu mitame ba'ohel, masha'en kulon mitamim. Now, tumas ohel has these following strictnesses. Number one, if I or a vessel is ma'ahil al hames, there's a dead corpse on the floor, a corpse on the floor, dead corpse is an oxymoron. If there's a corpse on the floor and I bend over it, I'm now on top of it, I am in effect the ohel over the corpse. I'm tomei tumas ohel. I didn't touch it, I didn't carry it, but I bent over it. Or the umbrella, which is hovering over the corpse, that's also mitame ohel. In other words, the ohel itself, the person who is an ohel, so to speak, is tome, number one. Number two, the reverse. The mace is an ohel above me. The corpse is lying suspended on a shelf or whatever, and I go under it, or I put kalim under the corpse. So the mace is the ohel above me or the kalim, tome. Or if I am under the same roof, or kalim are under the same roof as a mace, they're in the same room, not touching nothing, nevertheless, I become tome. That is the power of the mace, who is mitame ba'ohel. As opposed, ma she'en kulon mitame'in. Everything else we learned until now, beginning with Sheretz and Shichvas Zera, there's no such thing as tumas ohel. We did learn just in this Mishnah, however, that the mitzora is mitame bibiya, that when the mitzora enters the ohel, everything in that ohel becomes tome. But that's only true if the mitzora and whatever the contents of the house are under the same roof. In that respect, the mitzora is mitame like tumas ohel of the mace. However, if a mitzora is above me, or if I am above the mitzora, that type of tumas ohel only applies to a mace and not to a mitzora. There are other differences between a mace, which is mitame ba'ohel, and a mitzora, which is mitame be'bia. One simple example is, if not the whole body of the mace is under the ohel, but just his hand, for example, is under the ohel, then everything in the ohel becomes tome. However, if a mitzora puts his hand into an ohel or into a bias, that's not sufficient to make all the contents of the bias tome. It has to be bias kulo. The whole mitzora has to be in the bias in order to make a bias tome. So there are strictnesses in a mace, tumas ohel, way over and above the strictness of a mitzora who is metame bibia just by entering into a house. That's Mishnah Dalet. Now we go on to Mishnah Hay. In Mishnah Hay, we learn about eser tumos porshos min ha'odom. We're talking about tumos which emanate, which flow out of a person, related to tumos which come out of the body of the person. And as we will see, there are 10 levels of degrees of tumah, the consequences of the tumah, from those types of tumos which are porshos, which are actual products of a person's body. Number one, mechusar kipurim. If I have a person who is tumah because he's a zov or a mitzora, These are all products of his body. The consequences are physiological processes which make him a Zav or Mitzora, pathological processes. But nevertheless, they are Parshos min Ha'odom. Now, if this Zav or Mitzora does what he's supposed to do and goes through the purification processes prescribed and goes to the mikveh and the sun sets, but he has not yet brought the requisite korban, which is Zav, a Zav Bal Shalosh Re'ios, a Zav who has seen three sightings of this fluid three consecutive days, has to bring a korban. A Mitzora has to bring a korban. Suppose they've not yet brought their korban, but they've done everything else, they've gone to the mikveh, etc., and sun has set upon their last, their seventh day. Then, Asur Bakodesh, they cannot eat karbonos until they bring their kapora, their karbon. They are mechusar kipurim. They are minus their final karbon kapora. But, umuto betruma of a maser. If the Zav or the Mitzor is a Kohen, he can eat truma. And even if he's not a Kohen, whatever he is, he can eat maser sheni. Maser sheni also cannot be eaten betuma. But he's no longer Tomei. He is gone to the mikveh and he's had head of Shemesh. The sun has set upon his final day. So once he goes, interestingly, in times of Maaseh Sheni, as we will soon see, he doesn't even have to wait till sunset. As soon as he goes to the mikveh, he can eat Maaseh Sheni. But Truma, he cannot eat until head of Shemesh, until sunset. Chozalios Tevulyom. Suppose a person becomes Tomei and he's gone to the mikveh, but the sun has not yet set. Osur bakodesh uvatruma. He can't eat kodesh. He can't eat truma. However, umuta b'maser. He is permitted to eat maser sheni as long as he has gone to the mikveh, even though the sun has not set upon his final day of his count. Chozalios boel nida. Suppose he's in even worse shape. He's more than Mechusa Kippurim, more than Tevul Yom. Chozalios Balkeri. He has had a flow of semen. He's ejaculated or he's had intercourse. Osor Bishloshton. Then he's Tomei. And he cannot eat Kodesh, Karbonos, nor Truma, nor Maase Sheni. Maase Rishon, by the way, no problem. Maase Rishon is like Chulin. Chozalios Boel Nida. Suppose he has become a Boel Nida. That tumor also comes about through something which has emanated from his body, namely he has had intercourse with this woman. And now, as we've learned, he is like her, Usihi Nidosa Olov. So he has a halacha in certain respects like the Nida herself. Mitamei Mishkov Tachton Koelion. Now he has the consequences that if he sleeps upon a stack of blankets, 10 blankets, for example, even the bottommost blanket becomes Tomei. It becomes a Rishon Letumo, and the blanket is Mitamei Ochlin Umashkin, as we learned back in Mishnah Gimel. Chozalios Zov Sherosh Teriios. Suppose he's a Zav, meaning he's a male, who has seen on two consecutive days two Re'ios. He has sighted this flux, which came out of his body, certain type of flux, twice, in the morning or in the afternoon, or on two consecutive days, the morning of Monday and the morning of Tuesday. Then he's what known as a Zav Bal Shtei Re'ios. So he is a Zav in respect to Metame Mishkov Umoshov. The couch he sleeps upon and the chair he sits upon are tomei. They become an av hatumah even if he never touched them, just sat or lay upon them. V'tzoruch b'yes mayim chayim. When he goes to mikveh, it can't be an ordinary mikveh. It has to be well water, spring water, natural water, live water. As the pasuk says back in Parshas Mitzora, in chapter Tesvav, pasuk Yud Gimel, the pasuk there reads, V'chiyitar hazov mizovo v'sof alo shivas yomim l'tohoroso v'chibes begodov v'rochat b'saro b'mayim chayim v'toher. Not an ordinary mikveh. It has to be a natural mayon, a natural well. Upotam in HaKorban. Since he's only seen two Re'iyos, or on two consecutive days seen a Re'iyah, he's actually seen this type of flux come from his body, he's still exempt from a Korban. There is no Korban for a Zov Baal Shtei Re'iyos. However, Ro'o Sholosh, if he has seen three Re'iyos, either 10 o'clock in the morning, noon, and 4 p.m., he has seen a Ria of Ziva, then he is a Baal Sholosh Re'iyos, or if he's seen Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Chayiv B'Korban, he has to bring a Korban. Chozalios Mitzora Muskor. Suppose he is a Mitzora, but in the status of Muskor. We learn in the Parshios of Tazria and Mitzora about the sequence of events that a Mitzora has to go through. Often, he presents his symptoms on his skin to the Kohen, and the Kohen can't yet determine for sure whether he's Tomei or not as a Tzora'as. So the Kohen sends him away to seclusion. He is masgir him. He sends him away. He secludes him for 7 days to see if he will see a clear indication of tumah. In that status of mitzora muskor, he is already to a certain extent tomei mitamei bevia. If he goes into a house, everything in that house and everyone in that house becomes tomei too. However, upotur min hapriya umin hafrima. The Pasuk will say, with reference to a Mitzora Muchlat, a definite Mitzora, as opposed to our case now, which is only a Mitzora Musgor, he's only a secluded Mitzora, first stage. So in that second stage, once he's definitely a Mitzora, in order to, the Torah tells us, in Parshas Tazria, V'hatzorua asher bo hanega begodov yihiyu ferumim v'rosho yiyeh ferua. He has to tear his clothing and let his hair grow wildly. That's only by a mitzora muchlat, but not by a mitzora musgar, a definite mitzora, a decisively determined mitzora, muchlat, as opposed to a mitzora muskar, who's only been secluded in order to see whether or not certain symptoms develop. So if he's in the stage of Mitzora Muskor, he is Mitame Bevia, he goes into a house, everything and everyone in that house becomes Tome. But he's exempt from the requirements of Priya and Perima, of tearing his clothing and letting his hair grow wild. He's also exempt to Min HaTeglachas u'Min HaTziporim. The shaving, which is a part of the purification process, and the birds he must bring as part of his purification process only apply to a mitzora muchlat, becoming purified, becoming cleansed, but not to a mitzora muskar. The imhaya muchlat, now if we proceed to a higher level mitzora, worse shape mitzora, who is already muchlat, the Kohen said, sorry buddy, you are tomei, then chayav bekulon. Not only if he enters a house that everything and everyone in the house becomes tomei, but he has to tear his clothing, he has to let his hair grow wild, he has to go through a certain process of shaving his body, and he has to bring the birds that are required of a mitzora, etc. The Mishnah continues, Peirash mimenu eiver she'ein olov basur koroi. Suppose you have a living person, and Nebach, a limb comes off of his body. Through an accident, through a disease, a limb falls off his body. And that limb does not have any flesh upon it, not sufficient flesh upon it. So then, we will learn soon the definition of sufficient flesh. But Eiver She'ein Olov Basur Koroi doesn't have sufficient flesh, then Mitamei B'Mago U'V'Maso. That Eiver, that limb, is metame the person who touches it and the person who carries it? The eino metame ba'oel. It's not like a dead body, which would be metame everyone in the room together with this limb. V'im yesh olav bosa koroi. Suppose the limb which fell off this living person through an amputation or an accident or a disease, and upon this limb there is sufficient flesh, which we will define again in a moment, then it is metame b'mago, a person who touches that limb, uvamasa, a person who carries that limb, uvaohel, a person who is in the same room with that limb, all become tome. that limb has the din of a mace, of a dead body. O be'etzem adam o v'kover. What is the amount of flesh necessary to render the aver, to render the limb, metame even tumas ohel, shir bosor koro'ui, the quantity of flesh necessary for it to have this higher status of tumah, is kedei lahalos aruka. If there's sufficient flesh, so that if this limb was still connected to the person, to the living person, it could regenerate and become a healthy limb again. Then now it's been amputated, such a limb with so much flesh on it, kedei lahalos arucha, which could bring about a total cure, then it is metame not only b'mago v'masa, but b'ohel. But if there isn't sufficient flesh, kedei lahalos arucha, then it is only metame b'mago v'masa, but not metame b'ohel. Rabbi Yehuda had a different shear, a different quantity of flesh, which would define it as being having upon it bosor koroi. And that is, im yesh b'mokom echad, if you have upon this limb, in one place, kedei lahakifo b'chut erev, enough flesh, so that if you would cut this flesh into narrow strips, the width of the chut erev is the horizontal weave. If you have a garment, you have erev, which is the horizontal threads. You have shesi, which are the vertical threads. The horizontal threads in the loom are thicker than the shesi, than the vertical threads. So, if you could take the flesh which is upon the limb and slice it into strips, each strip being the width of a chut erev, and then if you would take all those strips and put them together and there would be enough to encircle the entire limb, then that's the amount that's considered enough to regenerate the limb if the limb was connected to the living body. If there is sufficient bosor in one place, that if you would slice that bosor into strips, into threads, threads being no wider, at least as wide as the chut ha'orev, then you could take all those threads and you could encircle the entire aver, then we consider that flesh is sufficient lahalos arucha to regenerate that limb if that limb was attached to a living body. We don't follow Rabbi Yehuda, we follow the Chachomim, a different measure of how much flesh is necessary, kedei lahalos arucha. And so we have finished lesson number 3, and in the process finished Mishnayos 4 and 5 of Perek Aleph.